Well, good morning, Shepherd. How are we today? Great to see you. If you're in person, for those watching live or at a later time, we're glad that you're joining us as well. If we haven't met before, I'm Sam, one of the pastors here at Shepherd, and we're glad you're here. Happy summer. You're over it? I'm not over it. We keep this going, baby. This is all exciting news. It's not cold out. That's a win. But we are glad you're with us today. We are continuing a series that we have been calling The Bigger Story. In The Bigger Story, we've looked at the Old Testament, kind of the beginning journey of God setting the world out and then breathing on his followers' life. And there's a fragmentation that took place, and that's Genesis 3, where we made a mess of things. And so God, since that moment, the story is him trying to redeem the world to its proper place. And then we get to the story of the New Testament that begins with the Gospels and the story of Jesus and how he wanted to renew humanity back to himself and show us what true love is like. Then we get to Acts, which is the story of the early church. You pick it up on the theme? The theme is story, 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 story. And then it comes to a screeching halt because we get to Romans. And all of a sudden, it's this letter that Paul begins to articulate for his followers what it means to then live the Jesus life. So although there is a few different pieces of literature in the Old Testament, the major theme is this story from left to right, top to bottom, from beginning to end, about what God wants to do in and through humanity. And we are now at Romans that discusses some theological truths, and we've been in those the last few weeks. To give you a reminder, Romans really has three major themes. It's the story of salvation, how God wants to rescue humanity, and he does it through the person of Jesus. That there is justification that takes place, that for all those who say yes to him, that we stand right with God. There's nothing that we can do to change that status besides just receive it. And today what we're going to do is we're going to talk about sanctification. Just so you feel super holy, even just say the word with me. 1, 2, 3. Sanctification. Does anyone feel holy already? That's the message today. Just say the word sanctification all week. You're going to feel really smart and really holy. Got it? All right, let's close in prayer. You want to get out of here early, don't you? But sanctification is this like kind of massive word, and so we wanted to make it as simple as we possibly can. Here's the major definition of sanctification. It's the lifelong process of partnering with the Holy Spirit to be made like Jesus. Let me say it again to soak it into your mind. It's the lifelong process of partnering with the Holy Spirit to be made like Jesus. There's justification that we stand right with God, but then that's the so what and now what? What do we do? Because God doesn't just zip us back up into heaven immediately when we say yes to him. There's something he wants to do in and through us right here, right now. But if you're like me, I have this throbbing question in my head. This sanctification just sounds like this big word, better. Oh, great. Better. Everyone wants to be better, don't they? Like sanctification just sounds like a better person. Everyone wants to be better in terms of their golf game. Come on, somebody, this summer, let's go. You can tell I'm really good. Can you see that swing? We want to be better at the things that we love. We want to be better parents. We want to be better dads, moms. We want to be better siblings, better bosses. We want to be better employees. We want to eat better. We want to look better. We want to feel better. Yes? This is a human thing woven into the fabric of what it means to be human. And if we're not careful, what we'll do is we'll take that same idea of being better in these different categories and assume that sanctification is just being better when it comes to our faith. I talk to people occasionally, how's it going in life? How's your faith doing? And they, man, I could be better. I could do better. I could read my Bible more. I could pray more. And I totally get that. Those are really good things. But if the focus is on being better, then you miss it all together. God actually has something better for you. And have you ever asked this question, what's better than better? What's better than better? And don't you dare say best, because I don't have a good answer for that. But as I look at the scriptures and I look at the passages that we're going to look at today, it was like, this is not like Sam thinking about some interesting, silly, fun way to say this truth. As I was reading it, looking at Romans 6 and 7 and 12, this word came up time and time again that redefined what I think God wants to do in and through us when it comes to our faith. That what's better than better when it comes to our faith is this word, new. That's what God wants to do in and through you. That he doesn't just have a 2.0 version of you that he's hoping for. He actually has a brand new you in store when he made you in his original DNA and design. Because of Genesis 3, there's a fracture and life happens. And you're not who you were originally made to be. And what God is hoping for through the power of the Holy Spirit working in us, sanctification is you being made new. Because I argue new is better. It's not a better prototype. It's not a tune-up. The best little idea I can think of is my brother-in-law's car. He purchased this really old car named a Yugo. Raise your hand if you know what a Yugo is. Oh, so many of you know. You chuckled. Like, you know, I didn't get a photo in time, so I'm just going to have to describe it for those who don't know what a Yugo is. It's basically like a golf cart on wheels with an engine. And what my brother-in-law decided to do is completely gut it. All that was left was the frame. In fact, he got a hatchback Yugo, and he put the engine not in the front but in the back. He finally got this bad boy running. It's like a 5-speed. It's pretty sweet, and I rode it on July 4th. The idea that God has for you is not just to tune up a better engine for your Yugo. It's a complete overhaul that can really zip. That is what I think it means to be made new. Something completely different. That although we can look at you and see the shell that is you, like the Yugo, that God wants to do something on the inside that is completely new. That makes you come alive on the inside. That allows you to go back to your original DNA and be who God is calling you to be. In Ezekiel, there's this narrative about how God's people were lost and they're broken and they've tried their best to be who God's calling them to be, but they continue to make a mess of their life. And Ezekiel, under the inspiration of God, puts pen to paper and he writes this: I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I'll remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Notice the scripture doesn't say that he's going to give you a better heart or a better spirit. It's better than that. There is something better than better, and it's new. And that's what God has in store for you and me. And in these next few minutes, I want to show you how new looks better than better. Are you ready? If you're ready, say ready. We're somehow on time. Let's keep moving. Here we go. Better than better. Better looks for loopholes and shortcuts. Better, if you just focus on being better, it looks for loopholes and shortcuts. Think about your health. Like, we want the fastest, easiest, best way to look and feel better. Am I right? 2 years ago, I started to realize that my third-year-old body needs to make some adjustments in terms of its energy, exercise, and intake. I started to notice a little spare tire down here, and I wanted to take care of business. I see some of you grinning. You know what I'm talking about. Somehow the gravitational pull is to more. What's up with that? That's a different sermon series, I guess. So my wife and I had a plan. Great. We're going to tackle this head on when it comes to our health. We're going to do it better. And you know how we're going to do it? We're going to juice. Not like steroid juice, but like juice and juice, you know? So a friend of ours allowed us to use their juicer that they had no longer been using. Red flag. It's like the best on the market, no joke. We researched some different recipes. We're rocking and rolling. January 1 comes. God is my witness, as so is Gabrielle. I sat in that seat for 2 weeks, eating 2 juices a week. Not in that seat for 2 weeks, but I would sit here on Sunday gargling these dangly juices down. And my wife, she doesn't do anything halfway. So if it says put a little bit of ginger in, she's like, let's put a lot of ginger in this thing. I'm telling you, it burns your throat on the way down. And the result of this better way was me gaining a few pounds and not feeling any better. But every single human on the planet wants to be better, and we have a tendency to want to find a loophole in the plan. And this is the case for Jesus' followers from the beginning. That in Romans chapter 5, it's going to announce what justification looks like, and I'm going to tell you how they did loopholes here in a second. So just as sin ruled over all people and brought them to death, now God's wonderful grace rules instead. Yay. Giving us, look at this, right standing with God and resulting in eternal life through Jesus our Lord. If you were with us last week or not, let me summarize. It was them reminding us, Pastor Jeremy and Pastor Reggie, that God has done the work, that God has done something for us, and so because of what God has done, we stand righteous. We are justified. We are in right standing with God. And so if you're like me, your sinful self, you go, great, there's nothing I can do to earn God's love. There's nothing more I can do or less I can do. So why don't we just whoop, 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 live it up? Of which students across the nation are wondering, thinking that thought. But they're not the only ones. That's what they were thinking in Romans. They're like, great, I'm justified. Now what? Romans 5, verse 21 leads right into Romans chapter 6, verse 1. And look at what it says. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? He's giving a rhetorical question. He's going, great, because you've been justified, there's nothing you can do. You're probably wondering, so then we should just sin like crazy? And here's what Paul's answer is. By no means. I looked up at the Greek, and you know what it says? No way, Jose. By no means, no way, Jose. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live it in it any longer? That God has done something for us that we're justified, but he's not done with us yet. Now what is the process that God wants to do in us and through us? For time and attention, in the same thought, I'm going to just skip verse 3 and go to verse 4. We were therefore buried with him through baptism and death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. God has done something on the inside of us, something for humanity. Rather than chasing loopholes or shortcuts, God, it says, it's better than better. I'm offering you a new life. You see, baptism, whether it be in a Lutheran church with some sprinkling or immersion, is this beautiful picture of us clinging to Jesus so tightly that we actually spiritually die with him and that we rise back to life with him. In the same way that Jesus lived on the planet, showed us what true love was like, gave his life on the cross, died deader than a doornail for 3 days, and then he rose to life again, inaugurating, is what we would say, the new creation, that God had started something through Jesus that had never been done before. Not just the physical act, but spiritually raising us on the inside to life again. That our deepest struggles to sin are matched by him naming us new. And it's better than better. Because your best version of you is not better than the new that God wants to do. It's not. He doesn't want to just give you a tune-up. He wants to do a brand new thing on the inside of you. Look at what 2 Corinthians says. It says, therefore, if anyone, everybody say anyone. Anyone. You're an anyone. I'm an anyone. Thank the Lord is in Christ. When we say yes to him, the new creation has come in and through you. The old is gone. The new is here. Sanctification is the process of every single day working and partnering with the Holy Spirit to say, God, I'm not who I want to be, but you're doing a new thing in me, and I'm going to keep stepping with you. Time and time again, He makes us new. One way to illustrate this is my new friends that I met in Mexico. They work at this ministry called The Refuge, under the leadership of Randy and Sandy. You gotta love that combo, Randy and Sandy. And Randy and Sandy have spent their lives over the last decade plus helping rescue abused, neglected, and sex trafficked girls in Mexico. He has story after story about God using him to rescue these girls from this old, painful pattern. And you know what he does? And you know what Sandy does? Literally gives them a new home. Literally gives them a new family. They have a new value system. They have a new ethic. It's that little image that God wants us to get a hold of today. That when we say yes to him, he doesn't just make you a little bit better version of you. Can you imagine going into some of these deeply abusive scenarios and saying, oh, let's just make it better? Does it need to be better? No. They need something brand new. They need a new home. Your life does not need to just be better. God's big, bodacious call is that we would be made new through him. A new life, a new home, a new family. This is how Jesus does it. Romans chapter 8 articulates what God wants to do in us and through us, and we're going to get there in a second. I'm probably getting ahead of myself, getting excited. The second temptation in the world of better obsesses over behavior modification. So if we're not going to find loopholes or shortcuts, the other alternative to swing the other way is to just try hard. I'm just going to pull my big boy pants on, I'm going to grit my teeth, and I'm going to try really hard to be who God's calling me to be. I'm going to not sin. I'm going to not think bad things. I'm going to not be angry. I'm going to not be selfish. And this is the way that the Romans, they thought, maybe this is how we should do it. Okay, Jesus has done something, but we still have this thing called the law. Paul talks about the law in two ways. One, the law is the first five books of the Old Testament. The second way is the law code. The law code would give them 613 rules to follow. And they thought, great, if I can just hunker down and do all 613 to a T, then maybe this thing called sanctification would work in and through me. And Paul says, nuh-uh, you got it wrong once again. And that kind of thinking, grit our teeth, work harder, do better, is in you and it's in me. I did youth ministry at this church for over 8 years, and the temptation was just to tell students the things that they shouldn't do that are destructive. And in some ways, like, yeah, we should tell them not to do destructive things, yes, but if all we do is just say, don't do destructive things, then they miss the point of the life that God is actually inviting them to. I say it this way. If I tell you not to think about elephants, what are you thinking about? You're thinking about elephants. Don't do it. But if I tell you, hey, think about giraffes. They're super cute when they're babies, and then they still remain pretty cute because they grow up and they get really tall with a tall neck and they got little spots and a little frou-frou little tail. Can you see the tail in your head? See, now what are you not doing? Thinking about elephants. Gotcha. And so what does God want to do that's better than behavior modification? It's found in this text as Paul teases it out. But now he's been articulating this idea by dying to what once bound us. He's actually talking about like a police, the image is like police with handcuffs. Now, but dying to what has once bound us, we have been released from what? The law code. The 613 rules so that we can serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. God is inviting the new you to participate with him the new way that is fueled by the Holy Spirit. There is no way you can become who God is inviting you to be, to look like Jesus, on your own. Your best attempts will fall short time and time again. The jet fuel you need to be who God's calling you to be is the Spirit of God coming alive on the inside. Because better than better is a new way. It's a new way. We can throw away our obsession with trying behavior modification. This is what Romans 8 says, that just as Christ raised to life by the Spirit of God, so also you, my friends, will be raised on the inside of you to be who God is calling you to be. Not under your own strength, but partnering and listening to the Holy Spirit as he allows us to come alive on the inside. This is how he does it. Sanctification is the lifelong process of partnering with the Holy Spirit, the jet fuel that you need to be able to be made like Jesus one day at a time. And you know that you're gaining ground one step at a time when you look at your life and you see a little bit more of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. Rather than this behavioral modification, just stop doing this, stop doing that. God is saying, I'm inviting to a new life, a new way, the Spirit of God. I can tell you, in the last 2 weeks, I've heard from two people saying to me, I just need to be a better husband. I need to be a better husband. I want a better marriage. I need to be a better husband. I can be better. A few days later, a student struggling in his purity says, I can do better. I can be better. Literally, out of their mouths, the same thought. But just trying to be better and muster enough energy will not do it. It must come from a different source. That kid's message with the source being Jesus, the jet fuel, the battery is the Holy Spirit that allows our light to actually shine for him. It's the same message to an older audience. And so we get to the third reference of new that Romans uses. You see, I'm not just plucking these verses to make one string thought. This is what it looks like Paul is doing as he moves us from Romans 6 to be made in a new life, to Romans 7, a new way, and look at how he invites us to actually take flight in our lives. Romans 12 says, therefore, do not conform to the pattern of this world. There is this pattern like a river in a current that the world is just going down. And Paul is saying, do not just passively conform to floating down the river, but rather be transformed. This word transformed is where we get this word metamorphosis. It's what takes place for a butterfly beginning as a caterpillar and becoming a butterfly. What a beautiful thought. You can't just scream at a caterpillar, be better, be better. God actually has designed the caterpillar to be something completely new, a butterfly. This is your life, that you were designed not to just be a better version of you, but to be made new. How do we do it? This word transformed is in the passive tense because it has to happen to you by the Holy Spirit. And how does he partner with us to do it? The renewing of our mind. The renewing of our mind. It's a consistent and constant reminding our hearts and our minds of who God says we are. It's a consistent and constant reminder of God's love and commitment to us. It's God's consistent reminder of his promises that he has a hope and a future for us that is better than the life that we could imagine on our own. How do we do it? We need a renewing of our mind that takes place when we choose to do one thing as an invitation today: to spend time with him. That's what it looks like to renew our mind. And our culture moves so stinking fast that we feel like good about ourselves that we can quickly go on a Bible app and read a quick verse of the day. And if that's progress for you, I celebrate that wholeheartedly. But what God wants to do that is better than better is to consistently make you new that it takes communing with God, the love of the Father, the grace of the Son, and the comfort by the power of the Holy Spirit. Tim Keller has grabbed my attention on this idea. He says this. He says, in order for us to be able to say no to the things that draw us in that aren't from God, in order for us to not be drawn to those things, he said, we need to be able to have moments with God that are so delicious that it causes us to not want anything else. Man, when I had a Manny's steak for the first time, there was no other steak that tastes quite like it. In much more significant way, when we actually have a moment where we taste God's grace and we spend time and we slow down and we put our affection and our attention onto him, that there are moments that we can have, maybe not even every day, that can nourish our soul in such a way that we go, oh, this life is way better than the manufactured life of trying to grab for power, to try to be the center of my life, to try to fill the void with an addiction. How does God sanctify us? By partnering with us to walk in step with him, by spending time with him. I want you to take you back as we close to the idea of Randy and Sandy in Mexico with these girls at the refuge. Think about this for a moment. They are snatched from abuse, neglect, and what have you. And they're in this home that's healthy and thriving and good. And Randy said to me when we were with them in Mexico, he said, sometimes they dream of a life that's better. And they actually leave the comfort and goodness of their home and go back into the old way. Don't answer out loud, but how does that make you feel? That same feeling that you feel right now, I believe, is what our Heavenly Father feels for us when he says we're made new and we have moments that we step out of the new into the old pattern, the old sinful nature, the old whatever, and I bet he feels the same way. And I bet he would say to us, do you not know that home with me is the best? It doesn't get better than this. So God's invitation for us as we're moving towards him in this sanctification process that will take our whole lives is to partner with him and to find ways to spend time with him so that he can speak to us through his word and through his spirit, that we might step with him where he is inviting us to go. Let me pray for us. Jesus, I thank you for these moments that we share together as a community. I thank you, God, that you've rescued us for salvation, that you declare us righteous and right standing with you through justification. And I thank you, God, that although life is not up and to the right all the time, that you are, in fact, sanctifying us, that you want to partner with us through the Holy Spirit for something better than better, but to be made new in this moment. In this moment. And the next, and the next, and the next. Holy Spirit, may we let go of the rat race of trying on our own, and may we say yes to partnering with you, pulling our strength from you, that we might, moment by moment, look more like your Son, Jesus. For those that struggle with that idea and are continuing to do it on their own, God, I pray that they'd be encouraged to lean on you, to lean into your capable hands in this moment and the next and the next. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we are thankful.